Blog Talk Radio.
Apocalypse un 14.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Black Wall Street, ball out. I buy all gear till I'm all out. Rep 12 tribes, that's what I'm about. Feast day, gotta work, wanna call out. Dance floor, yeah, I'm in a groove. Don't pay them haters no attention till I move. Celebrating, see me dancing on my shoes. To the old life, I'm chucking up the dudes. It's a new moon and I'm feeling great. Off on time and I'm never late. Got my brothers with me and they all straight. Good wine, good food on my dinner plate. Yeah, we just chillin', having fun. Sayonara, old world, cause you done. God got me shining like the sun. I ain't know we shining with the sun.
Move your feet in your sneakers. The music sweet through the speakers. One man to a mama teacher. Celebrate, true believers. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your
body. Jesus Christo,
Christo
is moreno.
Shalom, shalom. My slider, I guess, was defaulted too. I got thrown off there for a second. It was, the volume was low, but I was hearing it. I don't understand. Hopefully, it came out on the thing. Brothers need to reset their settings when everything's done. Shalom, shalom. Most High Christ bless. This is the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I am your host, Captain Yahshua. I also have along with me, brothers, go around.
Captain Aparium, happy Sabbath.
Soldier Elkanan, happy Sabbath. Most High Christ bless Israel.
Soldier Gamaliel, happy Sabbath, Israel.
Why gotta change your whole demeanor?
He had to go into his Barry White.
Yeah, you know.
And why your mic so far from you? You gotta keep stretching your neck over there.
He's using Okanagan's mic.
Because I got the word of God with me, so you know.
Late night talk host, radio host.
I know, right? Like he thought it was like, what was the one on Kiss FM?
The Quiet Storm.
The Quiet Storm. He talking like it's the Quiet Storm.
You know, I let the Most High's word go before me. So.
See, and then you sound on far. Now I got to adjust my gain and stuff because you want to be all special.
92 KTU, this is Roscoe.
Hey, but y'all got
Shalom, Israel. Most High, Christ bless.
Well, let's get used to the voice because you're going to be hearing it much.
Hey, I'm going to go ahead and adjust this. I'm gonna start playing jokes on your brothers. I'm gonna adjust the setting so that like you come out real high pitch or real.
Why you look at me like that?
But I was thinking today, like I want to expand.
Hey, your brother, bro.
I want to expand on the show. Like I want to expand. Like I want to get. I want to get a little projector so we can show stuff on the live stream. Like when we want to reference stuff.
Perfect.
Right, because so it could go right
that's
there.
Perfect. Yep.
Right. I want to get like little sound effects and stuff like that so we can like start to go in. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
hello.
Yeah. There we go.
That was that, bro.
Man, I feel like I've been away for a while.
That was that, bro.
Y'all are funny. So I've been traveling. I think the camp thought I abandoned them.
He did.
I've been traveling.
Throwing subliminals. subliminal shots at the camp?
Actually, they were direct shots.
Oh, they were very, yeah, they were. Very, very direct.
I don't.
Had a lot of brothers.
All of y'all
feeling.
Felt it from Houston.
Yeah.
No, from Austin, wherever you were. Where were you at?
Austin. I was in Austin, the land of milk and honey.
Hey, by the way, the calling number is 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797.
Yep. So call in if you want comments or questions. Okay. I know occasionally our mother watches. She was telling me, I think she caught the live stream the day after.
Shalom, Mom.
And she was like, I was gonna call in and say stuff. I said, if you call in and you say something crazy, I said, we're going to have to blast you. Man, what do you mean?
There's no respect of person.
She was like, what do you mean? I'm like, she don't know what the blast term means. So she thought I was like physically going to assault her or something. I said, no, Mom, I need to stand for the Lord. And if you say something that's contrary, like, I got to come correct. I said, I know you don't know a lot of stuff and whatever as far as the scriptures are concerned. I said, but, you know, she loves her new shows. She's late in her life become very Republican after being rather liberal. But I mean, all that, I've been putting some thought into that. Like that should maybe be a topic of discussion as well for a show. Cause it's all like a farce, man. Like the way they got people riled up over one, you know, it's like picking sides over one thing or another. And, you know, I think people sometimes marvel at how, like, I don't get excited about either edge of politics.
Right.
Like it doesn't mean anything to me. Like, you know, cause usually, somebody who aligns themselves politically, they're very passionate about it, right? It becomes their identity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's such a hot topic when you talk to them about it, because what they're thinking, really how they're feeling is that you're assaulting them as an individual.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for someone like that to get past it. Some people can say that might be the case in religion as well. The difference, I think, between us, I'm picking up a lot of background noise. Can that be addressed? The difference between the politics and people behind the politics and feeling that way in us with the true doctrine is, this is vetted and proven rather than the rhetoric of a man or a group
right.
of men who profess to have your interest in mind. But we understand when you look historically about how politics came to rise in the Bible. Because, you know, everything was like monarchies, monarchistic, mm-hmm. right? There was always a king, and that right. was the type of rule that was done. When politics came into existence, in the time of Antiochus and the Greeks,
right?
right?
Mm-hmm.
The scripture tells you that that's when evil overspread. Can we get that real quick? You know, because that's actually going to – it may seem off topic from what the title of the show is, but it's not. It's going to segue right into it. You know, like I said, I was gone for a little while on my travels as my responsibilities in a leadership role here with the body. Just bear with me as we get to stuff. You got that?
Yes,
that's in Maccabees, correct?
Yeah, I got it.
Uh-huh. Okay, read
First
it.
Maccabees, chapter... First Maccabees. Can you hear me right?
Yeah, you okay. sound fine. You sound really
First
good.
Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 7. So Alexander reigned 12 years and then died. And his servants bore rule, every one in his place.
Mm-hmm.
And after his death, they all put crowns upon themselves. So did their sons after them many years. And evils were multiplied in the earth.
So scripture tells you that when the beginning of democracy came into play, because that's what happened after Alexander died, mm-hmm. all right? He was ruling it as a martial law, all right, as an emperor. Okay, which is still somewhat a form of monarchy. It's just more based on a militant, warlike aspect to it, right? So that's really the difference between an emperor and a king in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
A king's kingdom is fairly firmly established, and then it'll continue to pass through lineage. When you look at it from an emperor perspective, it's that they've kind of taken it by force. And there's overlaps in this. This isn't a finite way to look at it. The scripture tells you when it started to get broken up, right? Those four, right, that he broke it up to, the intention was that they were going to rule it harmoniously. They were given different portions of land, right? And that democracy starts to come to rise after that, all right? Do you have that when that first comes out where it says they'll, they were
yeah,
they set a king over them?
Well, like the Senate, I have the preset. Yeah, I have the Senate.
Go ahead.
This is First Maccabees, chapter 8, verse 15. Moreover, how they had made for themselves a Senate house.
All right, so this was all the results that started when Alexander died, and the scripture says evils were multiplied in the world. So democracy, okay, the democratic, and again, it's not really democracy when you look at it. That's semantics, right, that's going into that. Right? This isn't a political class. To really explain what democracy is versus a capitalist society and a republic versus democracy, et cetera, et cetera. But to give you the idea, the beginning of these foundations, because the world credits the Greeks for this type of system, right? It says those were the beginnings of evil. So it started with those four generals after Alexander died. And it says they set up a Senate house. Mm-hmm. All right, read it again from the top.
Moreover, how they had made for themselves a Senate house wherein 320 men sat in council daily, consulting always for the people to the end they might be well ordered, and that they committed their government to one man every year.
That sounds like the president, right? They commit the whole government to one man. Here in America, it's every 4 years, different countries that have a form of democracy, it's different terms, right? Here they say they committed it for 1 year, right? So they had a Senate house. Okay, which really, if you want to get technical, that they call it a Senate House. There's not that many senators in the states. That sounds more like the House of Representatives, whatever. But again, because I say all that to preempt people, because they'll miss the point and they want to call and give me a lesson on politics, and the government structure. I don't give a crap about the government structure.
That's right.
Okay, the government structure is what it is because that's what the Lord allows to be in place.
Right.
So for me, it don't matter. The only governor and government I'm concerned about is when Christ comes back, all right? Because that's one of his titles, all right? The governor. And he's going to have the government on his shoulders. And we're going to go back to having a monarchy with him as our king. That's how it works.
Okay.
So I don't care. This is why I don't get excited about politics one way or the other. What I do get excited about is when they say stuff to our face and our people don't catch it,
mm-hmm.
right? So like a politician will tell you something right to your face and your eyes aren't open spiritual and you'll hear that, right?
What about, oh, my bad to cut you off.
Go ahead.
What about when Donald Trump was running for presidency and he just blatantly said it. What do you blacks have to lose?
He said, what do you have to lose, right? Under the Dems, you got nothing.
Right, you got nothing.
So why not?
You're dumb, you can't read, your schools are trash, you live in the poorest neighborhoods. Just vote for me and I'll make everything better.
Right. Everything better by emboldening the white supremacy.
Right.
Which was always there. But now that their guy's in office, they're like, okay, now it's time for us to come out and protest what? Protest the rights that you already have? What are they protesting? Protesting the rights that you already have? This is your kingdom. Yo, go ahead. Read on.
Verse 16. And that they committed their government to one man every year who ruled over all their country, and that all were obedient to that one, and that there was neither envy nor emulation among them.
Which isn't true, all right? That was the goal of it, no envy, no emulation among them. But that's not the case, right? You look at it now, it's just this power struggle that's going on behind the scenes.
Verse 18 is going to explain why it was set up.
Go ahead.
Verse 18, and to entreat them that they would take the yoke from them, for they saw that the kingdom of Grecians did oppress Israel with servitude.
So explain you there, okay? Yes, the Greeks had the Israelites in captivity as well. And under this form of government, you read earlier in First Maccabees how King Antiochus decreed that everybody should be one people and leave all their customs, okay? Actually, let's read that too, because it's all going to tie into when we get into our conversation. So that's First Maccabees 1 and start at 41.
Now, Alexander the Greek, that's history, right?
Mm-hmm.
That man did exist, right?
Yes, sir.
His rulership did exist, right?
Yes, sir.
We taught that in school, correct?
Right.
We've heard of Ptolemy, Cleopatra, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was it Cleopatra?
Yeah, Cleopatra.
Yeah, that's Ptolemy's daughter, right?
Ptolemy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for some odd reason, the Apocrypha is not part of the Bible.
Mm.
It's in the Bible.
But it's not
of the Bible.
Hey, but you know what, man? They're starting to print them now with it again. Bro, it used to be when I came in, you had to buy it separate.
Wow.
Like this was real hard to find. All right.
Beat up.
I'm waiting for the feed to catch up and see, because it looks like it's on delay from when I show it. But just continue to hold that up. So it looks like that, right? So now it's showing. It's like on delay. So it used to be I had to buy it like that, right? Mm. Now you can go, bro. Even the Bible apps now have a KJVA.
I mean
KJV with Apocrypha.
Can the listeners see the book that we're holding up?
No, they cannot unless they're tuned in on the Facebook Live. But it's the basically, if you look up the Apocrypha, it says Authorized King James Version, right? KJV Apocrypha. Cambridge publishes it as a separate book, and that's crafty too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because it's like, oh well, it's not part of this; it's a separate book. So that's their way to try to discredit it. But going back to your point, some people like to say, oh, well, the Bible doesn't include all the major empires. Well, yes, mm-hmm. it does. And during the Protestant Reformation, the Apocrypha was taken out. We know deep down for crafty reasons as
right.
part of that Psalms 83.
Right.
Right. But they'll tell you it's because, you know, they sat down in a room and they said, well, it's not inspired by God. And they'll use things like in Tobit, I've read, they say Tobit teaches witchcraft because he tells you to do this with the fish thing so that the smell comes up to keep the demons out. That's no different than us with incense, right? So really that's just spoken of and said from a frame of mind of them not understanding the scriptures. So you would expect people who are not there and who this is not for,
mm-hmm.
all right? Because according to the book of Psalms, it says, the Lord have not dealt so with any other nation, only Jacob. These commandments, these statutes are for us only. They're not going to understand that. So they sit in a room and they profess to say, well, this is canon, this is not. They canonize it, right? So this is why, of the many reasons, that the Apocrypha is not in the scriptures. But this is important world history, right? And another tactic that does by taking it out and making it separate, a separate book, is it puts it into a frame of mind that the Bible is a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a fairy tale because everybody else talking fakes. Nah, Negro, come on. You know what I'm saying? It can never enter your mind that maybe there's something being said here that's above your understanding.
Right.
You know?
A metaphor similar to
right.
the Bible
but,
speaks of.
But they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's fine to see that. And from us, we understand why they're like that. But a lot of people, this is confusion with the scriptures. All right? But go ahead and read 1 Maccabees 1:41.
All right, this is the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 41. Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to the whole kingdom that all should be one people.
So King Antiochus, right? So after the generals ate each other up, Antiochus said, hey, I'm putting this thing back together into one thing. And he proclaimed himself a king, right? He said, all should be one people. Okay, go ahead.
And everyone should leave his laws. So all the heathen agreed. According to the commandment of the king.
What does that sound like? That sounds like America today, the great melting pot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can come here. We are one people. We are all Americans, right? There's no black. There is no white. That's what they tell you. That's what they want you to say, so long as it's from their frame point, so long as their position. And I'm talking about the so-called Caucasian, right? Which the Bible calls Esau and Edom, and the world ignorantly calls white or Caucasian,
mm-hmm.
all right? It says Edom, okay? And Edom, as long as their position and their status as the dominant race is not questioned or is not changed in that way, then sure, all people are welcome so long as you know who's massa,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is what that sounds like. And that's the same thing that Antiochus is saying here. And these are the seeds of democracy that was planted, okay? Because that's not how Alexander rolled. Alexander, and why he was so successful, was like, hey, listen, just profess me to be your king and y'all can run the way you want. Nothing's going to change. Just profess me to be your king. You also saw that with the Persians. You see a little bit of that in 300. He's like, listen, y'all could be the Spartans. Y'all could be the warlords of Spartans, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could have a warring society, right? And y'all will be the elite of that. just all you got to do is bend the knee and just say, hey, you just acknowledge that at the end of the day, you the top man here, but, you know, I'm the boss. I'm the one that's in charge of that.
Spartans was the Israelites, and they weren't having
it. Right. Exactly. So
real
they were like,
man of the Lord.
Nah. Right. Exactly. So, hey, and a lot of people hear that, and they're like, what?
Yeah,
you confuse a lot of brothers with that, but that's all right. We leave that nugget out there.
Right.
All
right.
So read verse 42 again.
Verse 42. And everyone should leave his laws. So all the heathen agreed according to the commandment of the king.
Mm.
So all he said, everyone should leave their laws. Come here and you do what's here. This is America. These seeds of what you do today as America that the Bible calls Babylon the Great. Mm. Okay, that great city that sitteth on many waters. All right. I don't know any other country in the world where they're looking to the elections here. You know what I mean? The whole world stops to find out who's getting elected here. Do you care who's elected in Zimbabwe?
I don't even know.
Right? Do you even care who's elected in Spain and Germany? And nobody cares about that. Nobody. Everybody stops to look here. This is the top country in the world. Mm. All right. And I'm not saying that as a bougie American, all right, because I'm an American citizen. I'm going to use that for all it's worth. And when we get to Cuba, you're going to understand. I'm going to use that for all it's worth.
Right,
all
right? Right, right.
All praise to the Most High that I'm in America and Babylon the Great. I'll give him that, okay? but everybody stops to look here. It says everybody should leave and do the commandment of the king, all right? Leave your stuff behind and come here. We're all Americans. Read on.
Yay. Many also of the Israelites consented to his religion.
So it says, it calls that form of government a religion.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, when I said, and I was talking about how people get hot about politics because they think it identifies them.
Right.
I also said, if you didn't hear that I was talking about politics in the beginning, you would think I'm talking about religion.
Mm.
Because that's how people get about religion, right? This is, I mean, we see it as prophets of the Lord out there in the streets teaching our people. The spirits that come on somebody when you question their ideals that have formed who they are today.
Mm-hmm.
This is the strongholds that are in our people's minds and in their spirits. This is their identity. And it's a hard thing when you come at somebody and tell them, no, that's a lie.
Right. Everything you learned is garbage.
And not just learned, but everything you hold true
mm-hmm.
and created the person that you are today around.
Right.
Your values and your ideals that you formed around this religion, the Bible calls democracy and all these lies a religion, because today religion is what? Erroneously referred to as a denomination.
Mm-hmm.
People think religion and denomination or sect, okay, is what religion really is. And, you know, I got to look it up. I got to get the dictionary. I'll read it. All right. Y'all stay with what you got.
Okay.
I've been supporting all my life.
Hey, did you tell? Were you there for? Did you bring that out? No, you were on a separate mission. The sister that when we said she can't eat pork.
Oh, I brought that out.
Which one?
I brought it out.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah, bring it out again. You were there.
I was there. Yeah, I saw it. I saw her face.
It's not gonna work here. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, mijo.
So check this out. So people erroneously think denomination and religion are the same thing because if you even look up religion, I'm looking at the three definitions that they have here now. Actually, they have several, the top three, okay? People usually go with five, okay? The practice of religious beliefs, ritual observance of faith, okay? That's what people usually go with, right? The first definition says a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe, especially when considered as the creation of a superhuman agency or agencies, usually involving devotional and ritual observances and often containing a moral code governing the conduct of human affairs. One in five are what people usually roll with, okay? But number two says a specific fundamental set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of person or sects. Number three is the body of persons adhering to a particular set of beliefs and practices. Okay, now go ahead and read verse 43 again.
Okay, verse 43. Yea, meaning also the Israelites consented to his religion.
So he says he consented to his religion, this belief that leave all your laws and customs, come here and let's be one people. The point that I'm trying to get to, and we'll continue to read on, is that democracy, politics, is a religion.
Mm-hmm.
So you atheists, you agnostics, you people who talk about I'm non-denominational, I'm this, that, and the other, you are religious. Y'all want to talk about religious fanatics, you Trump supporters, you Hillary supporters, whoever the hell you support, you liberal, you conservative, you Antifa, you alt-right, whatever, all these freaking labels to confuse people, all right? That is a religion to you. There's people that they're listening, they indoctrinate themselves with Fox News if you're a Republican. I don't know what the Democratic channel is. I don't know what's CNN. The liberal. CNN's liberal. Okay, CNN, so they're not. NBC. They're not even.
MSNBC.
They're not even impartial. So there's no impartial news outlets, is what we're saying, right?
Right.
They have one Republican one, and then everything else is basically liberals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is why you have to sift through that stuff with a grain of salt. Fake news is a real thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. Not the way Trump says fake news when it's something against him, and he wants to make it not true.
Mm-hmm.
He says, oh, no, 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 that's a lie. That's fake news. But no, the news is fake. And I'm telling you, think of all these points that we get to, because when we shift gears and we start talking about Cuba, we had a boots on the ground firsthand account of what's really going on there versus what you're fed here.
Hey, we want to prove that the news and the media is fake. Just go to YouTube. How come those people, everyday people, could find information
right.
and news that's supposed to be our talking head can't find us?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, and you know, going into the prophecy, you understand that's the mouth of the dragon and everything else, all right? But I mean, that's above some people's strength, so we're not going to deal with that, you know, today or maybe even ever on this show, but because that's above some people's strength.
Right,
you need to be repenting to embrace, to receive that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can talk about it, but if you're not in the laws, keeping the laws, all right, because according to Psalms 111 and 10, it says a good understanding of all they that do his commandments.
Right.
Me talking about prophecies, you're going to think, you know, oh, that's a religious nut.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Right. So back to my point, you political driven individuals who base your whole identity around that. Okay. What you're essentially saying is hypocritical to talk about people and religion when you're in a religion. All right. Based on your beliefs with this alignment that you have. With whoever you support. All right, so go ahead. Read verse 43 from the top again.
All right. Yeah, can I say something real quick? Oh,
of course you can.
Yeah, because, I mean, even thinking about, you know, that Democrat and Republican sort of situation, when you look at it, it's all two wings of the same bird, and they're all conjoined back to religion, which is all the stuff, you know, like Catholicism.
Because they all believe verse 42.
Yeah. They all are under the commandment of the king. They're all in universalism. That's
right,
all it is.
Right. And their king, even though it's a democracy, is Satan.
Yeah.
Right.
All
right.
Because if you're not for God, you're against him.
That's right.
Like when Christ told the parable about the man that went out and bid people to come to the wedding feast, right? And the ones that wouldn't come, he said, "Those that would not serve me, slay them."
Yep.
All right. That's what they are set up as under Satan, all right?
Mm.
And how do they slay us? Not physically. Our dead bodies lie in the streets, but they don't put them in graves. They slay us by taking away our identity and our heritage and putting us in this frame of mind to support this, all right? So what you just said is a very good point, because they all believe 42. Where whatever division you're in, right? I'm Democrat, I'm liberal, I'm this and that. And all the other ones are subdivisions,
yeah.
Right? I'm independent,
Tea
I'm this,
Party.
Tea Party, all that stuff. It's still subdivisions of the two major parties, okay?
Exactly.
Read verse 42 again.
Verse 42. And everyone should leave his laws. So all the heathen.
I'm sorry, start at 41 because I want to see the one people part. Go ahead.
Verse 41. Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people. And everyone should leave his laws.
No matter what you try to align yourself with, all this Trump, Hillary, Dems, not Dems, crooked Dems, crooked Republicans, whatever you want to say, you all believe that all should be one people and everyone should leave his laws. Okay, yes, within that you have your own ideologies as to what drives you within that, but you all subscribe to that one thing, but under what? Under the government here, under this kingdom, under Satan. There ain't nothing wrong with this, right? When it comes to Christ, except the all one people is all of those who think you're not the Israelites. You're walking around in a Gentile state of mind, all right? And even the other nations are going to subscribe and bow the knee to Christ, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the promises are for Israel. The That's adoption right. of sons is for Israel. Okay? So there's a difference that gets set up in that. But y'all running around with this democracy in your mind, you're basically falling under this here. You are religious. By the definition of religion, and listen, even if you don't believe in the Bible, well, no, I'm not religious because just because you said in the Bible and I don't believe in the Bible, I read you the definition of religion. Mm-hmm. You are religious and your religion is democracy and your God is Satan. All right, read on.
So all the heathen agreed according to the commandment of the king. Yea, many also of the Israelites consented to his religion.
You know what else comes out of that too? It says all the heathen agreed, and then he tells you, yea, many also of the Israelites. Israelites are not heathen, okay? You got to get that out your head. The heathen is talking about the other nations. And if you're in that mindset, then you're in that Gentile state of mind, then you're walking around as that. When you're calling yourself Afro-Cuban or Puerto Rican American, that's a stupid one because Puerto Ricans are Americans.
Or
okay?
Black Moor.
Or Asiatic black man, or whatever, all the freaking stupid titles, the confusion of faces, like it says in Daniel 9:7, all right, that you have subscribed to yourself.
Right, because black more means black.
Yeah,
black.
Exactly.
I'm a black.
Exactly, yeah. Puerto Rican American means American.
Yeah. I'm an American American.
Right. You know, so to make a Native American, that's another one that really makes no sense. We use that because they don't like Indians, but really right. they're indigenous, mm-hmm. right?
Hey. I was watching Gangs of New York the other day, and you know, I forgot that
his group was called the Natives.
The Native Americans.
But he called his thing the Natives.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it was the Native American
yes.
Federation, something
yes,
like that.
Yes. 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 Wow. The gang. The street name was the Natives.
Wow.
But when you look at it, well, that's a great movie, Gangs of New York, man. That thing is heavy, bro. It shows you all the divisions and how they came here. That same attitude, man. Bill Cunning, in the Natives, the gang, the Natives, sounds a lot like Trump and his followers today.
He sure does. He sure does.
If anything, that movie needs to be watched again
yep.
with the scope of what's going on in today's present
yeah.
world.
And with your spiritual eye. Hey, another movie I finally got to see yesterday, not just go off topic, Miracle at Santa Ana by Spike Lee.
Oh, I saw that.
They tried to hide that movie, and I don't know why, because it's probably, to me, one of his best movies.
Yeah, you heard the Germans were calling out to the black soldiers, telling them, bro, why are you serving them? They don't like you anyway.
Bro,
like, why are you fighting?
So much
that was part of,
that movie,
was part
man.
Of the propaganda that the Germans would put out. They would call out to the to the blacks, and they don't tell you the Hispanics because that's part of that casting bands asunder.
But the guy was a Puerto Rican,
right.
so called.
But
in the movie.
Because to them we're all niggas, so it don't matter, right? But you had all so called black regiments, and you also had all so called Puerto Rican regiments, all right? And I got to look a little more. You might have had all Mexican regiments.
You had all GAD regiments.
You had all GAD regiments.
The movie Wind Talkers.
Right, the Wind Talkers. So they always tried to do that bands asunder, all right? That you read about in Psalms 2. Psalms chapter 2, the first three verses. Mm-hmm. And it tells you that those bands are the brotherhood. So they wouldn't necessarily always put us together, okay? They tried to keep that separation so that we don't band together as one people. But you're right, bro. That's heavy stuff.
What's the name of that movie?
Miracle at Santa Ana.
Miracle at Santa Ana.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
man, Spike Lee, man.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some nigga behavior in there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Like, the
yeah.
one guy has the crush on the girl. The other one smashes
her. Was it
her.
Edomite?
Yeah, she was an Edomite.
It had to be.
She was an Edomite.
They always push
yeah, him out. He likes, they were hiding in the church. He screws in the church. The other one's upset. So I think that was Terrence Howard's character. Terrence Howard was in that, I think, because he has a real sucio face.
No, not Terrence Howard. It looks like him, but it's not. It's the other brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, bro, when you watch things with your spiritual eye, man, that thing takes you to another level.
I'm about to check that out.
Yeah.
Gotta see it. Must see.
But go ahead. Read on. Read verse 43.
Verse 43. Yea, many also of the Israelites consented to his religion and sacrificed unto idols, and profane the Sabbath.
And that's what happens today. That's what you see today for everybody to align themselves with democracy. Okay? Let me see if I want the rest of this. Yeah, go ahead. Read verse 44.
All right. For the king had sent letters by messengers unto Jerusalem and the cities of Judah that they should follow the strange laws of the land.
Hey, and that's no different from today, because what do? They try to – it's a combination of what they did in Egypt and what was happening here and what? That's you set up people to be like what's the lowest? I think alderman is like the lowest political
yeah.
position.
That's
that
the one
have.
They wanted to give.
There was a movie with Chris Rock, and he was elected as an alderman. It was like a comedy. It was supposed to be funny, and like he tried to get in and do like political stuff. So you'll see a lot of our people in politics, but in those lower level positions, like aldermen and other stuff like that.
Basically, what, like an overseer or something?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's like it's very low level. Like I think they're not even in charge of a district. They might be the representative of like few blocks.
Yeah, you're like it's an entry level political.
It's
position.
Like an entry level political position.
Middle management.
Yeah, I don't even think you get like a salary. No, it's not even middle management, bro. It's like below that. But like I said, I don't get too caught up in the politics of that stuff.
Right.
But I do know that I think that's like the lowest. I mean, they might be lower, but that might be the lowest, right? So what it's telling you here, when he sent letters by messengers, okay, that they should follow the strange laws of the land. What do you think, man? You think he was sending like crackers up in there? It tells you later that Joseph, that ungodly wretch, he was infiltrating our people, all right? Because that was a custom of our captors to go in there and speak on their behalf, all right? Because you ain't gonna go into there and you not one of them and try to say, hey, you know, follow this and follow that. Some people, yes, because right, like you got the Uncle Ruckuses of the world,
right.
But so you see that today, and they put them in positions of authority, and they tell you what? Subscribe to this, that this is your way out, all right? Obama did that too. That's why everybody freaking got bamboozled in that. Everybody was like, yeah, Obama. And then now they're like, damn, Obama ain't do nothing, and they followed Obama with this, you know? And that's the other thing real quick, just a quick side note. I remember how, you know, you were just talking about how he promised the so-called blacks, hey, what do you got to lose, right?
Right.
All his Edomite supporters, Trump's Edomite supporters, are always talking about how he's kept all his promises. He hasn't kept his promises to the so-called blacks and Hispanics that he said he was going to do.
Of course not.
He got people bidding on the wall, bro. Contractors sending in samples and all that shit, which is so unnecessary, bro. Like, you don't really think they come in by tunnels, yo. You really think
you're not gonna stop
they got fences? Getting over here, bro. You know what
you're
I'm saying?
Trump is not gonna be able to stop.
What about the ones that come here and overstay their visas? That by and large, that's the largest source of illegal immigrants.
What about the terrorists that just was in the lottery?
Right.
Lottery.
So, well, that's why he's saying he wants to do away with that. But anyway, I don't want to digress too much because I do want to get into the meat and potatoes of Cuba in a moment. But this is a good lineup to it for when we speak about, you know, the political stuff of what's going on there. So go ahead, read on. For the king has sent letters.
For the king has sent letters by messenger unto Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, that they should follow the strange laws of the land, and forbid burnt offerings and sacrifices and drink offerings in the temple, and that they should profane the Sabbaths and festival days.
And they do that now because you got to esteem their days higher than yours, right? Mm-hmm. And they set you up so that in this democracy, right, that you have to work on the high holy days. You have to profane those days. Okay, read on.
And pollute the sanctuary and holy people.
Go ahead.
Set up altars and groves and chapels of idols, and sacrifice swine's flesh and unclean beasts.
Go ahead.
That they should also leave their children uncircumcised and make their souls abominable with all manner of uncleanliness and profanation.
Let me tell you something, man. I think we could stay here
That's
on these verses
right
and probably
That's
talk
heavy.
Another hour at least about all this stuff, all right? Because there's different ways that they do that. Mm-hmm. See, some people think it's like the thing with the devil, right? Everyone, with the people who think the devil's the devil with horns, right? Common sense would tell most people that if a guy with fucking horns, pardon my language, I dropped the F-bomb. I mean, I curse sometimes, but I haven't dropped the F-bomb on the air. That's new. Okay. All right. Common freaking sense would tell you, if a guy with horns comes to you and tell you, serve me, right? And in your mind, that's the devil. Most people are going to say no.
Right.
That's not how they're coming at you. So if someone comes and tells you, hey, leave your kids uncircumcised, right? They're not going to do that. So how do they do that? Oh, there's mixed information
that
if it's healthy or unhealthy,
they can possibly die.
And what do? They try to say, well, no, you can't do it on the eighth day. We're going to have to do it this day. And, you know, and so it's not impossible, but we still keep it to the best of our ability. That's the grace that we have in Christ. But there's a lot of different ways that they do this craftiness to get you to profane this stuff. But it all starts with you subscribing to the religion of politics, of democracy. Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead. Read on.
All right, verse 49.
To what end? Why was all of this set up? Why does Antiochus and democracy set up? It says democracy, as its premier tenets, is that all should be one people and everyone should leave his laws. All right? That's what verse 41 and 42 says. Mm-hmm. And you read on some more specifics in regards to the Israelites, but this is all encompassing. 49 is going to tell you why. Read on.
Verse 49, to the end that they might forget the law and change all the ordinances.
That's the reason, mm-hmm. to that end, that they might forget the law and change all the ordinances. That's what it's telling you. So that democracy is set up to forget yourself.
Forget who you are.
Forget who you are and do not keep the commandments.
Right.
This is why we are not far off. The bishop was in the spirit when he coined this years ago. I remember sitting in his living room as we were discussing it. And he said, repentance is revolutionary.
That's
and
right.
not for the weak.
Mm.
And he's like, yo, put that on a t-shirt. That's one of my favorite shirts. I wear that thing traveling. If our people don't see it. Esau look at it because it got the Bible and a menorah. They get confused. And then they read that thing and they just eyeball me like, Repentance is revolutionary right. and not for the weak.
Mm.
Because you've aligned yourself in your spirit and you've told yourself and based your values and your identity based on what we just read here, which is known as democracy today. And it takes a strong person after however many years and even not years, but just once you embrace that, right? Once you're emotionally invested in that, right? Because that's really what it is. Anybody rational could step away from it. Right. But you're emotionally invested in that.
In your identity.
In your identity. Right. right? Because yeah. you formed that and, mm-hmm. and you run with that. And it's hard. The hardest thing to do is, I think, for anybody is to acknowledge that you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's from a child up because why would a child not apologize for something they did wrong? And I see it in children. I use children as the example. Why would a 2 or 3 year old? When you tell them, say sorry because you did something wrong, not want to do it and get upset about it. It shows you that it's like there's a spirit behind that, right? So accepting wrong, okay, you would think that that's a taught behavior, right? That pride to not apologize for something that you did wrong. One of the hardest things to acknowledge is faults in yourself, right? This is why it's so hard for brothers and sisters to repent. This is why brothers and sisters don't take correction well. This is why you tell somebody something you see about them. I'm not saying it's always right, okay? But, you know, you look at patterns, you look at consistency, right? And if the same thing comes up and other people are seeing the same thing, like, you know, a wise person will take a step back and analyze themselves.
Right.
But why repentance is not for the weak and why it takes a strong person is because you've deeply ingrained and accepted an identity. And now somebody is coming and telling you that that's not true. And who you've finally made peace with, especially for our people, because we have no identity, right? We
right.
have confusion of faces, right? So you've invested yourself emotionally in saying I'm a Moor, I'm a Puerto Rican, I'm a Mexican, right? Because Puerto Ricans, right? The Puerto Rican parade, the flag, all this pride in what?
Right.
Port of riches.
Right.
That ain't yours.
No, but I mean, you ask them what their pride is, bro, and they give you these vague general. It's stupid. Like it just, Puerto Rican pride. Puerto Rican pride in what? All right, the gay pride, and what? You know, that's another thing. I think
at least
of that,
the
and
gay
I just
pride. Know what they're proud about? They proud about being gay.
Yeah, but it's like,
what are you proud about being important?
Yeah,
Rican?
You ask, and there's nothing that you could really point to, right? So all this black pride and all this other stuff, and to come up out of that, man, is hard, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, we had Willie Lynch out before and just the mindset that we have against our people. And it's a heavy, convoluted series of events through thousands upon thousands of years that has led us to the mindset and where we are today. And that's why repentance is revolutionary.
Right.
And not for the weak. It's revolutionary because you wake up out of that, man. You come up out of her and be separate. And that's a hard thing. And the other reason it's not for the weak is not just coming out of it, but Christ said, we are in this world, but not of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He says, I pray for them, right? And to straddle that line and obey the powers that be, right, and walk like that, it's like it tells you in Ezra's, man, that one path with fire on one and water on the other that only one person could pass at one time, man, mm-hmm. and you see in the distance what the reward is, man, but the whole time that's perilous. You don't think those flames are licking you on the side?
Yep.
That water's misting you on one? The wind is howling? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's such a perfect metaphor for the walk that we have and the challenges that we face in this. You talk about you come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation. It's not for the weak, man. To endure in this is not for the weak.
Right.
And that's why there's honor in men and women who have repented before us, and you give honor to that. But read verse 49 again.
Verse 49. To the end that they might forget the law and change all the ordinances.
No, this is so heavy. This is such heavy stuff. Read verse 50. Go ahead.
Verse 50. And whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said, he should die.
And it was on pain of death. And that's how it started. And that's how it happened when, according to Second Ezra, how those of us, mostly Northern Kingdom, came over here when the conquistadors came. It was upon pain of death that we had to follow those customs and all of that stuff. All right. Worship white Jesus, worship this cross, or die. Mm. And many people, you know, again, it's not for the weak. A revolution in general is not for the weak. And, the proper revolution for us is not taking up arms. Our warfare is spiritual against spiritual powers in high places. And it's probably harder than a physical. Because a physical thing, man, you most brothers will be fine with,
right.
if it was a physical war.
Yeah.
Right? But we have a war here of delayed gratification, a war built on faith for things that we don't see. And you can die in this life and Christ not return yet. And to keep that faith, to be enlightened and see the plight of our people and what continues to happen. Puerto Rico breaks my heart, what's going on over there amongst a lot of things. Nobody's talking about Mexico and the devastation of the earthquakes. Mm-hmm. And you know that there's stuff going on over there. It's not for the weak. It's not for the weak. And to wake up out of that is hard.
What's the name of that show? What does the shirt say?
Oh, repentance is revolutionary and not for the weak.
And if I wanted to get a shirt like that, where can I get one?
Oh, originalroyalty.com. All right. You can get all your Israelite apparel
on
there.
I got to get one.
Yeah.
That shirt is heavy.
We got to check stock levels there, make sure that it's in stock. But that's a bad shirt. I think we need to rerun it. I think we ran it in red and white. I think we need to do some colorway. I'm going to talk to the guys at Original Royalty and see if that thing could be reintroduced, man.
Most definitely.
Because that needs to be the
most
poster.
Definitely.
That needs to be the advertisement that we put out there, you know? Because that's where it's at, man. That's why we do these shows, and that's why we teach. Not to bitch and moan, but to put our people in a frame of mind to realize, hey, it's not what you think.
Right.
We're giving you a glimpse of the matrix and telling you there's a way out.
Mm-hmm.
And the way out is keeping these laws, statutes, and commandments.
That's heavy.
So before we jump in on the Cuba conversation, I'll just kind of open it up. I don't know, Cap, you've been quiet over there. I don't know if you think.
Nah, you running. Just letting you talk. It's been a couple of weeks, so
yeah.
I'm just letting him vent out.
You know? Hey, and you know, I want to take this opportunity because I keep looking at this and it's like annoying me. So I'm looking at the live feed, right? And it's like three people, four people, one person. I know we did the first one and we had like, I think, 30 something live at one point. I think on the replays, we touched like a few thousand. Being that I'm the one, I'm like kind of your main host that set this show up, I want to apologize for the inconsistencies in our broadcasts. All right. I know some people, we had started to make some penetration and some people were looking forward to their Sabbath mornings and watching and listening to the show. We're going to do our best. Things happen. I'm not going to say it's never going to happen again. Power goes out or something. That's something out of my control. But we're going to do our best to make sure that doesn't happen again. We need to be there for our people and treat it as such. And it's not a light thing. So my apologies to that. Spread the word, man. We're back on the line. All right. We're going to be consistent. We're going to have the live broadcast and our Blog Talk Radio broadcast. The Spanish show has been doing pretty good. Debs Brothers been pretty consistent. So, you know, my personal apologies for the lack of consistency in our Sabbath broadcast. All right. We're going to do our best to make sure that don't happen anymore. OK. Call in numbers 516-531-9797 and 516-531-9797. Cuba. Cuba, Cuba, Cuba.
Hello.
I was real on fire. We need that as a sound effect. I was on fire more, man, when I first got back. I feel like... I know I was real touched by that, man. I was somber. I was weird, man. I was weird about Cuba. Mm. I was weird about Cuba, man. We definitely the house Negroes here in America.
Yep.
We privileged, bro. You know, I know y'all here, you've heard me talk about how we, deep down, we don't really believe we're in captivity here, mm-hmm. right? And we don't operate like that with our actions and stuff like that. And, you know, seeing Cuba and you know, I've actually seen worse poverty, right? Like, I've been through parts of Jamaica, and it looks more run down. I've been to Belize and things like that, and I see run down. My biggest takeaway from Cuba is that their poverty is driven by many factors, and they can't leave, man. That I can't get over that. Like, they have no hope. Right. So we got to bring that hope, the hope of salvation in Christ, with these scriptures, because their condition puts them into that. I mean, I don't know, man, to resign yourself to just accept that. Like, all these other countries that are impoverished for the most part, man, there's a means, you know, to get out. You can apply for a visa. Someone, you know, maybe there's a family member or something. Money can be raised and saved. I don't even know if these people have the ability to save in Cuba with the way things are set up there, man.
How do you save? It's not designed. Remember, socialism, which is, they're under communism, but basically socialism, everybody has equal, right? It's pretty much communism, like a little step up.
See, but socialism, just based on that tenet, is not bad, right? Get me, is it Acts 235?
Acts 4.
Is it 4?
Yeah. Got the money.
It says all things in common.
See,
is it for?
That's what I'm saying. The problem is that it's socialism. It's communism under the guise of socialism. You know.
You talking about Acts 4:34?
Is that what it is? Read it for me.
That
last. What was the name of the whole thing?
So lands and.
Not that one. I want the one about all things in common. Right? Is that it? They had all things in common. Is it the community of believers? Yeah, so 44. So 2 and 44, that's what I want. 2
and 44, okay.
And then we'll go back to 4. Because if you think about it, right, because this is another thing I took away in Cuba. As Zephaniah and myself got there a couple days early to scout things out, right, because we went there not having anybody, no contacts. I mean, I think for the most part, I could be mistaken, every international trip we've taken, we've had a connection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is really a step up for us, man, as a body, as Israelites in this walk.
Praises to the Most High.
The spirit of the Most High Christ came on the bishop, I think, from last year. He said, why the hell aren't we in Cuba? Right? You would think, bro, there's so many other Latin American countries that he could have picked. Mexico, right? Bro, they're huge. There's Mexicans here, right? He said, yo, we got to get to Cuba. His main reason driven, and I won't forget, was because he saw the gay pride parade there. He's like, wait a second.
Cuba had one?
Bro, I'll never forget. He called me. He was watching on the TV, posted like a little video clip. He said, Northern Kingdom. He said, Northern Kingdom better stop their BS. He goes, how the hell the homos over there in Cuba? And remember that I said that? Because when we revisit how they wouldn't let us teach in the streets, they will let homos parade in the street for gay pride, but they won't let you teach the Bible in the street in Cuba.
Hello.
Yo, I'm telling you, it's insane. And he was like, yo, we got to get to Cuba. And it was a little over a year in the making before things really fell into place, before the funds came together for us to go. And, you know, we went with nothing, not knowing what
went
to expect. We went in blind we followed Ephesians, bro, and we put on, you know, the breastplate and you know, the helmet of faith and all that stuff. And we girded up our loins and we said, yo, we go in a couple days early. We want to lay the foundation for when the reinforcements come so we can head out and do what we got to do, man. And,
come to think of it, I think the timing was right now, because I don't know if we would have been as successful if we would have went in July, you know, when we really wanted to go.
Yeah, no, of course.
I get I meditate on that. For some reason, we were supposed to go a year early.
I'm gonna pull a Christian saying, and I mean, when I say Christian, I am a Christian in the way the Bible says I'm a Christian and that I'm a follower of Christ. But I'm gonna pull a Christian saying from the denominations, the religions. God is always right on time, Cap. So that it was right on time.
True,
it was right on time that we made that trip.
It was right on time. Mm. You're right. It did happen the way it was supposed to, and when it happened the way it was supposed to. You know, so we went in there blind, man, and we picked up a lot of info. But going back to the whole thing with the socialism piece, because, like I said, one of the things I took away, we got to, you know, spend those couple of days, F and I, scouting areas where we wanted to teach, getting the temperature of the country and the people. And, you know, we went to the Museum of the History of the Revolution. We got to speak to some locals and things like that. And the intentions of those men, those revolutionaries, was good. All right. And it was without the Bible. So things creep in and change it. But if you think about it, in theory, the reason socialism doesn't work by and large, and you learn this in school when you take that, sounds nice, right? Socialism sounds fantastic.
It works better on small scales.
Right. But the main reason it doesn't work is because it lacks this.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Because if you think about it, you know, not to say that some brothers won't do better than others in the kingdom, because it tells you some will be rulers of 10, some 20, some 30. You know, they'll have different portions in the kingdom. When you read what we're about to read, and it talks about how we had all things in common and distribution was made, that sounds like socialism. So the apostles ran that way.
Hmm.
And it's not so much that it worked better in a smaller circle. It worked because they were all in one spirit and one mind.
Truth.
And remember that I said that, and if I forget that point, let me get it, because I'm going to tell you my opinion and my theory of what happened. Because when you look at Che Guevara, you look at Camilo Cienfuegos, you look at even Martí and all the people that started to revolutionize Cuba, their heart was in the right place, and then the lust of the flesh, I think, crept in.
Mm.
And that's where really socialism becomes a problem. They call it socialism, but for me, it doesn't really matter, because we're going to obey whatever the laws of the land are, right? So
that's
here
right.
We have a democracy. If I was living in Cuba and it's the dictatorship, you know, it's socialism, I gotta obey the powers that be there, right? So I would do it there. So I'm not advocating for any type of mass government here other than Christ's government,
right?
Okay. I'm just trying to give you kind of what I observed there. So read this verse in Acts 2.
This is the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common.
That sounds like socialism, right? We had all things common. Go ahead.
And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need.
All right. So when Fidel took over, because the vision was in Cuba, they don't rent spaces, right? That's not, you don't lease or rent. You own it, and you don't pay property taxes on it or anything like that. The problem is getting the money to buy it at this point because of the, you know, complicated way that their economy is set up. But in Cuba, what happened was, once Fidel came to power, the vision of Che and everybody else was, we're going to give this stuff to the people.
This is Fidel Castro?
This is Fidel. Yeah. Oh, okay. So for when Fidel came to power, right, after, you know, remember, he was heavily influenced by the revolutionary Che Guevara and Camilo Cienfuegos. All right. Mm-hmm. These men were kind of all over the Caribbean and Latin America at the time, Central Latin America, to try to take the people out of the protracted rule and the residual effect of the conquistadors being in place, right? Because you still had a lot of people, you know, from the Spanish governments that had rooted themselves there. And you're talking about generations that stayed there in power. So they were trying to alter that, right? So the lines get blurred a little when you look at lineage and things like that, but that's not the topic that we're talking about, right? The scripture answers all things, and that's not such a confusing matter when you understand the scriptures. But he gave all the land and the houses to the people when he came into power. He gave
palaces.
Homes. Palaces.
Oh, really?
He gave homes to people. He gave palaces to people.
Wow.
He sheltered them. Gave it.
They just had to maintain it themselves. That was the
They just had to maintain it themselves. He gave it to them. So, you know, like lots were cast or whatever, and here. All right. So he gave it. So he gave it to them. All right. Go ahead. Read on.
Verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart.
Meaning they were all of one mind. They were all together on that from the top down. They all had the vision and the mission. All right. Finish that. Read verse 47.
Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Because of that singleness of heart, all right, and them all being that way, having that charity amongst themselves and everything, God, okay, added daily. The Lord says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, meaning those preordained to be saved.
Right.
He said, okay, we're going to wake this one up now. This one's going to receive it. This one's going to receive it. But the key point here is 46 and 47. Is it work because they all had singleness of heart,
right,
and they were happy about it because they had favor with all the people? That's not the case in the island now.
Mm.
All right. Because, again, my opinion is power is intoxicating. Right. And the Castros and the people there, they felt kind of really strongly about their position. So they started to focus more on them, making sure that they had their seat. Right. And their level to maintain this sort of stuff. And I think over time it became less about the people and more kind of personal. But Lord's will, we have time. I'll get into what I mean by that more. So you had something else, because I want to go to Acts 4.
Yeah, I was just going to bring out exactly what it's saying in that, Amos 3:3.
Go ahead.
It says, can two walk together except they be agreed?
Right, right. So, you know, and Christ also says, if Satan is against Satan, then you know,
the house shall fall,
right? Exactly. So you a house divided can't stand.
Right.
All right. So we understand that. And so that singleness of heart is important, but where it's hard for our people to do that when this is not involved, because the singleness of heart goes back to what I was talking about much earlier in the show. All these people that align themselves with liberals and everything else, like you brought out, the singleness of heart is not based on this one power. It's based on whoever's aligned with their party and his thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll never have that all one people the way that it was presented that way, because it's based on the singleness of heart of a man.
Mm-hmm.
And men are not infallible, all right? Mm-hmm. Men fail. Men are subject. You read Galatians 5, and it talks about the spirit and the flesh are contrary to each other.
Right.
All right, and they war against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's about a man's ideals and ideologies, it can't stand. All right, so what's lacking is the singleness of heart in this, because it tells you the increase came from what? The Lord.
The Lord.
Yes, sir.
The Lord put daily those that should be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not based on that, it fails. This is why all the revolutions that we've had physically, they couldn't do anything. All
right. Right, because if you don't believe and understand Leviticus 19:17, all that goes to naught. If you don't, because what ends up coming
right,
with all of that?
Right.
Somebody becomes in power, right? And I got to give it to Castro, man, because he held that in place. Because people did try to assassinate him, but he was smart, man. That dude got like three or four lookalikes. Well, had, because he's dead now, but he had like three or four lookalikes of him, et cetera, because he understood, all right, that Blacks and Hispanics, okay, he understood that mentality that we applaud you at the beginning, and then as you start getting the hate, you're like, look at that nigga. Who he think he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start getting that hate. Mm. You know what I'm saying? For each other. So
yeah.
that's why those revolutions that the captain was saying, all of them failed. They had great intentions. Matter of fact, going back to great intentions, right? Because we said Castro had good intentions, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. But going back to great intentions, always lacked one main a very, very important ingredient, and that's one, their true identity,
mm-hmm.
and two, that the laws, statutes, and commandments is what keeps us together as a nation.
That's right.
Not monetary power, not material things.
Yeah.
You understand?
And not based on personal views.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when the scripture talks about trying to get to that Godhead mentality. Right. There's only so much that we're going to be able to do in these carnal bodies, in these bodies that are constantly at war with our spirit, to attain that Godhead view. So we're always going to have those challenges. It's like when you read in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, down towards the bottom, it says, now we see through a glass darkly. Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's the other one. I don't know if it's in the same chapter where it talks about that gives the similitude of someone who looks in a looking glass and sees back themselves and then what they do. That's a little heavy, but when you read mm-hmm. about that,
right,
it's talking about the carnal self and you know, if it's based on carnal self, when you walk away, okay, and you're not looking in the mirror anymore, you lose sight of what the mission is.
Right.
But if it's based on Christ, right, first and foremost, the Most High through the Spirit of Christ, then you don't need to remember what you look like in the mirror, because we all need to strive for that.
Yep.
So if you walk with that, that's that hidden man of the heart. That's when it talks about Christ being within you, us seeing Christ in others. If you have that as the example and the ensign, and you do everything based on that, then you can't fail.
Right,
because Castro had the right intentions, right?
Right.
But what was his missing ingredient? The law, statutes, and commandments. He ruled by fear of him, not of the Lord.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. We need to rule our lives, which is like what we do in Israel, united in Christ and repented Israelites, do according to the fear of the God. Because like Captain brings out, you want something deep? I'll give you something deep. Psalms 111 and 10.
Right.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Well, and it's so deep.
Of the Lord, not of man, of the Lord.
And it's right. So deep because that's, I mean, if you think about it, that goes with Ecclesiastes 12, right? Yeah. Fear God and keep his commandments.
12, 13,
that's the whole duty of man.
Right.
So you want to get real deep, all right? Understand why are we in the conditions that we're in? Because we serve not the Lord our God with gladness of heart, all right? And singleness of mind
right.
To keep his statutes that were only for us for that reason. So it's not more complicated than that. It starts and ends with that. And Christ is the embodiment of the law. That's why he says he's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He's also what? Author and finisher of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because it all focuses around that. But I don't understand, the Lord basically said, y'all think it's a whole bunch of different examples, but it's the same example told different ways.
Yep.
Right.
And that's how you know this is a spiritual thing. Not everybody can receive it and is going to receive it. It still drives you mad when you see those things. But I think early on in your repentance, you marvel at our people. And even Christ marveled at their unbelief. Even Christ had to say, wow. He said, these niggas is niggas. Hey, a brother posted today something. Chris Rock got a good line. Bro, I love my people. I can't stand niggas.
Right.
But there's a difference. And there's a difference because people get upset with that word. It's just a word that they subscribe to. Why aren't you upset walking around calling yourself African American? You ain't upset about that?
That's
a slur.
That's worse, actually.
Check this out.
You ain't upset about calling yourself Smith or Johnson?
That's worse.
And that's a slur.
That's worse.
Check this out. In the world, before I repented, I had that mentality towards Puerto Ricans. Okay, because you would see them at the Puerto Rican Day Parade, right? Boricua, Puerto Rican, all right? Meanwhile, they're robbing each other at the parade.
Yep.
They're dressed like whores in the parade. And again, back then, I didn't see, you didn't see it for what it is.
No respect for each other. Remember that one year, the big thing where they molested the girl in the park?
They were putting them in the circles.
They were putting the half-dressed, less than half-dressed Ephraimite sisters in a circle. Throwing water on them so that the clothes would stick to them, so they
could
see them,
the
grabbing them,
yeah.
Touching them.
Yeah.
Bro, like grabbing them by the pussy.
So I understand. I understand.
How do you do that to your own people, bro?
Right.
To one of your sisters.
That's the point. Those are the ones that I couldn't stand.
Mm.
Okay. And then it gets to the point where you start saying, damn, well, our people are like this, man. So I want to try to go to the other side. Not knowing until you're in this truth that Esau, they're more malicious than us in different ways.
Right.
But you're trying to find that morality. You know what I'm saying? And because we don't have the law, statutes, and commandments, we don't see that morality.
Well, they don't have any morality, Esau. It tells you, see, that's the difference between, that's why it's maddening with our people.
But we don't know that
from
you
Esau,
know,
right?
Point, yeah.
It tells you that the wicked are estranged from the womb. Mm. Okay, so Esau. You shouldn't be upset.
And it says his soul is not upright in him.
It says it's not upright in him. Exactly.
Yeah,
so,
you're never going to make
them
right.
So there's no morality in
them. They're never
going to
love you.
Right, yeah. There's no morality in them. That's to be expected, right? This is why the Lord said they got to be white. After they get their cup double, what they've done to us, they got to be wiped out.
Yeah, because they may creep back up again.
Because that invention will not. They will always rebel. That's what it's telling you when it says that they're estranged and that it's not upright in them. That means even after seeing the new Passover, even after all of that, there will continually be insurrections in that captivity. This is why they just have to be done. It's one of those things where it's like you don't hide it. Hey, I saw Thor, right?
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah, right.
Brothers,
it's spoilers.
Highly recommended.
Hey, spoilers. Spoilers.
Oh, don't give me no spoilers, man.
No, it's an easy one. It's
okay.
A little one, okay? It's not going to materially change
okay.
the movie for you.
Okay.
Hela is the son of Odin, so she's the sister of Thor and Loki, okay?
She's the sister, okay.
So, yeah, so uh-huh. the main, Death, the goddess of Death,
yeah.
all right, she's the sister. She's Odin's firstborn. So she's the rightful heir to the throne and all of that because they don't go by the man. It's just whoever's the firstborn, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Damn, you're gonna make me lose my point. What I said now? Shit, you have me because I was trying not to give the spoilers and now I think I messed it up. Wait, what were we talking about? Bro, you don't understand. Like when I'm in the
morality,
right.
Spirit is not upright in him.
Right. So he was basically she. Like in her, she just wants to continue to conquer and destroy.
Mm.
Right? She lives by the sword. Her weapon, her power is throwing out swords.
Oh, really?
Like from her body and everything. She just, like, a ship's coming. She's like, boom, big sword. Like, right through the ship, right? So the prophecy of Esau.
Right.
But the thing is
wow.
spiritual, right? The thing is spiritual. But it's not upright. So but back to this point, as far as this is why Esau got to be wiped out. Odin, when he wanted to change his ways, realized that Hela didn't. She wanted to continue to live by the sword, right? He wanted to become benevolent, right? Peace and whatever.
Peaceful. Yeah.
Peaceful. Even though he was complicit in it. And you'll find that out as it goes along. And again, I'm not spoiling the movie for you by telling you that. That's they just make it's a small part that they make about it. Mm. But him and Hela, basically, the reason they became rulers of the Nine Realms that they talk about in the thing is because they went beast mode and freaking killed everybody to overtake it, him and her, all right? So she was like his emissary, okay? Mm. And when he realized that her spirit was not upright in her, he banished her. He locked her up, and he had to get rid of her that way.
Was it 1,000 years?
It was a long time. Oh. It was thousands of years. I don't think it was 1,000, but it was a long time. And I don't want to say more because I will then spoil the movie for you.
That's
but the point I'm trying to make is that the reason the creation of Esau has to be wiped out after those years of servitude, right? Because the God is just, and he has to give them the taste, right? So he's going to give them the taste. And what we went through for thousands of years, he's going to try to have them experience it in just 1,000. So you know it's going to be that much worse for them.
That's why they
got to
get double.
That's why they got to get double, right?
Right.
You got to fill up that cup, okay? And then they got to go because they will try to come back. Because basically, Hela comes back, and she tries to do what her father put her away for anyway.
Prideful. Prideful,
right. So, spiritual stuff.
Ooh,
but this why you still gotta go, man. This why you still gotta go. That, bro, it's like we never talk enough about what we gotta bring, what we bringing out. Like I titled the show, and we talk about it a little bit, but it's just, bro. Let me tell you something. I don't know how it is when y'all teach and stuff like that. It's a little. I don't know. That's how you know it's a spirit. My camp spirit's a little more focused. But when I'm on the show, or I'm teaching a class. This is why I don't like getting like interrupted sometimes. Like I think people start to learn. The people that teach with you start to learn when they can interject.
Right.
I'll lose it because it's almost like a newsfeed when I'm thinking and I'm teaching. And I wonder if it's like that for the other leaders that we've learned from. But in my mind, it's like a newsfeed, and this is coming around, and I'm like picking it out and putting it here. So it's like a newsfeed, and then it's like Minority Report, right? And stuff is coming out, and I got this little guy in there, and he's pulling something here, putting it there, letting it pass, putting it here. So like if you interrupt me, it's like. And then I go, oh, damn, I forgot what I was trying to say.
Crack the egg.
But yeah. So I'll be going somewhere. And that's why, I don't know, maybe I don't like to watch my own videos. So maybe if you've seen a class and it seems like I switch gears too much or I lose my train of thought, that's probably what happened. Mm. Because as the spirit's dealing with me, all these things are popping into my head, right? I prepare a class. And a lot of times, it's like, this is why you got to prepare a class a lot of the times. Because once the spirit starts flowing in you, all these precepts and all these scriptures and stuff that you know starts to come into your mind, and it gets jumbled. So this is what the notes, and right, at least having it down brings you back. So if you do go off, you can say, okay, let me get back, and I'll come here and stuff like that. But anyway, I just had one of those moments. wait a second.
Just learn something.
So it gets me. No. Like just y'all learn when to interject and stuff like that. So it's good. But like it's like it just the information just starts. So, this carnal little brain, this young brain in this walk can't handle some of that sometimes. So I go all over the place. But let's go back to Cuba. We read Acts 2 because we said the socialism, we said they started with good intents, right? And then my opinion is that the carnal creeped in, all right? That singleness of heart wasn't there because it wasn't under the standard of the Bible, all right? If it's not of God, it's not going to last long. Okay, right. It wastes away. So we read Acts 2. Now read Acts 4 and start at 32.
This is the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul.
And here it is saying the same thing we read in Acts 2. Everything that we've been saying. They said the singleness of heart, okay, under the Lord. It says the multitude of them were of one heart and of one soul. We took it a step deeper, all right? So not only did they have singleness of mind, but now the souls are in sync. That spirit that's warring against the flesh, now they're all in sync. Go ahead.
Neither said one of them that ought of the things which he possessed.
Neither said any of them that ought
of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things coming.
That was the level that they were at. We ain't at that level. Like and you know why? I'm going to tell you why that won't work now. Because brothers and sisters in their repentance, the carnal self still wins a lot for people. And if I tell you my house is your house, a Negro will take that literally, right? I can't be like, no, I got to draw dividing lines because if not, I wind up out my house,
yep,
and you wind up in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do stuff like that. That's like the brother that you lend like your car to or you lend something to, and he don't have enough respect for you to bring it back with some gas in it or give it back the way it was. Or how about even better? Let's say it was jacked up and it needed a wash. A brother did you a solid. You bring that thing back full and washed and cleaned out for the brother. You know what
beautiful.
I'm saying? That's the spirit of that one mind and one soul that we're dealing with.
Give me an example. Let's take us, for example, because we were raised a certain way. Maybe some of y'all as well. You go to somebody's house, the last thing you do is open up their fridge, right?
That's
just
because
they invited you, that means they invited you to open up the refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? But you have some brothers, you say, hey, make yourself at home. And they really made themselves at home, you know? They start opening up your fridge and all this stuff. You know, it's like, listen, all right.
Hey, you know what's his hot trigger if you go to his house? Don't open up his fridge.
Right.
No. Because y'all don't have been to my house. If I told you, go ahead and do it. But I said, hey, make yourself at home. I didn't say go into the fridge.
Yeah. Yeah, see,
you know
me,
what I mean? If I tell you go into the fridge, then you have, by all means, go ahead, man. I don't have a problem with that. But to be like mad, like real, like straightforward like that, like that's part, like you don't just go to somebody's fridge and just open that thing
nah,
up.
Nah, yeah. I guess, I mean, I don't know. I think when you say make yourself at home, if I was home, I'd be opening the fridge. So
I'll still ask for
make yourself at home means feel comfortable.
So yeah, so
and
I
if
think,
you need something, let me know. I'm
I
here
know.
To serve.
So
yeah.
I think that's just a matter of and again, that goes back to not being singleness of mind, right? To me, I say make yourself at home, and you decide to strip down to your drawers and your tank top.
Well, then that's when the foot go in the ass and you get kicked out my house. That's a different story.
That's extra. You know what I'm saying?
That's a whole different story.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's extra. I tell you, make yourself at home and it's like you don't go home. You know, that's extra. You know what I'm saying? That's different. But if I tell you make yourself at home, then yeah, okay. Yeah, you're probably going to go in the fridge. But like if there's one sip of orange juice left, you know what I'm saying? Like if you're going to finish it. Like, you know, or like if there's like, you know, one franc, you know, then ask me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like you go in the fridge and there's only like this much juice left.
How you going to put that much juice back in the container?
Yo, right. Dude. Yeah.
Put an empty
container back in the
refrigerator.
Don't tease me.
You know, you see some scarcity, then maybe ask. All
right.
And that's different.
Exactly.
But I get the point you were trying to make. I'm just letting you know, but see, that's the problem, though. Some people see make yourself, and then you correct it because, well, make yourself at home to me means stay away from the fridge. That's why I said that's your. So now you know when you go to his house, unless he tells you go in the fridge. Make yourself at home means.
If I tell you, man, by all means, man, go. I'm not saying go in there and start cooking a meal and stuff.
Yeah. Like, hey, Cap, is it cool if I make some tacos real quick?
Right? But go ahead. Read.
I beat Taco Bell's down the block.
Read verse 32 from the top again.
Oh, man. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common.
Go ahead.
And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them all.
And we're living those things now. You know, I know Bishop Canaan's talking about when they were in Haiti, the Acts of the Apostles and the stuff like that. But that's what's happening. Our trip to Cuba was the Acts of the Apostles. Them going to Haiti was the Acts of the Apostles. Mm-hmm. All right. Us getting arrested, which we're not even going to have time for me to even give my perspective on that when we get into it. But, you know, I mean, if it goes, it goes. I mean, the documentary will come out and maybe more commentary will come out on that. But all that. But and we're living that now where it says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. Our teachers are able to teach with that great power and authority. All right. Starting with the Bishop Nathaniel, Bishop Kanai on down. That's why many of us know. Yeah, we don't follow men, but we know that the Lord is dealing with those men and the understanding that's coming out.
That's right.
All right. That's why we're there. You got people that talk about, oh, y'all zombies, y'all just following men. No, we're just enlightened enough to know where the medicine is at. All right. Y'all still want to be in your wickedness and not have that singleness of mind. So you say we follow in men. If no man is causing me to sin, I'm a vote with you.
Yep.
Because that's the only thing that's a differentiator in life. Mm-hmm. All right. Is the sin. If the men start going off and they're talking to me about sinning, all right, and you have to really understand the laws and how we should be with each other. This is why a good understanding of all they that do his commandments, okay, to identify that. Because it's not as simple as, you know, oh, well, the brother's telling me not to wear fringes. No, there could be inappropriate behavior, right? Or, you know, ruling over a brother in a manner that's inappropriate, you know, talking about, you know, you gotta, you know, pay me such and such for this or that, or you know, washing my car, you know, commanding that sort of stuff. I'm not saying doing it as an act of love towards a brother or sister,
lording over
in that way, right? Then that's different because that does boil down to sin. So when I say sin, right, a lot of people think, oh, well, yeah, as long as the teacher's not teaching me not to shave my beard. And he's not teaching me to, you know, not break the high holy days or whatever. No, I'm talking about you need to have a good foundation in yourself and understanding what's sin and what's not so that you can identify that. But going back to this, our teachers, man, our leaders, it's with great power that they've given witness of the resurrection and the grace that's under Christ to us. All right. They've done that thing for us. So it's the same thing kind of going on today. And we're trying to push towards that. Read on.
Verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold.
Now, in understanding the scriptures, you understand that the scripture tells you help as you are able and be careful that you fall not into the same. Right. So it's telling you don't fall into the same. This doesn't mean if you got a house that you sell it. Right. So that somebody can have something. How are you going to sell your own shelter when the scripture also tells you that that's one of the chief things in life?
Right.
That don't make sense. And you got some brothers and sisters that are on that extreme. Right. Like we were talking about the brother earlier that everybody was going out of his especially the sisters out of their mind to help that sister when she was going through her stuff with the pregnancy. And I'm not saying don't help, but not really knowing. And what happened? Once the brother got the good job, him and his wife bounced.
I got my check,
right.
And I was gone.
Right.
Gone.
Right. You know, so listen, that's why the scripture says, in the affliction, they'll seek me early.
Right.
You know, I've been working on a class in the spirit that I'm trying to put together. Lord's will, you know, I got to really sit down and reflect on it. I want to do a class on money, but not in the traditional sense. I want to do a class on money and the emotion involved with it and how to show you that money's a spirit.
Oh, that'd be a good class, right there.
It's a spirit that we have to know how to deal with and identify because it's something that we have to use, right? Mm-hmm. So as it exchanges hands and things like that, there's emotions behind that. So I'm trying to work on that in the spirit to show you that money is emotional and spirit's behind that. But that's one of the things. The brother, when he didn't have the money, right, he wasn't possessed by it. He got the opportunity to make the money, got upset because we were probably like, yo, your wife is sick at home, passing out with the baby, seizing out. And you talking about I got to be on the road for 18 days in a row. Bro, then maybe that's not the job for you. Then maybe you need to reconsider getting a job that gives you just enough, the chief things in life, so that then you can stay home with your wife.
Yeah, that brother was like, well, I ain't leaving my job.
Yeah, nobody told him to. But right. So he went off on that. But going back to this, in this vein of thought, okay, it says neither was any among them that lacked. We're talking about extra, okay, those who had extra. And this is why you also read, I always forget exactly where it is, where it talks about them who stole no more, but labor so that you can have for them that don't.
I think it's Ephesians 4:28.
Right. It's around Ephesians, I think. Mm-hmm. You're correct. But it talks about what? We also work not to provide the chief things for ourselves, but if we have that extra, it's so that we have for others that don't. And we do that how? Not that you run around individually supporting people, but what it read here, right? So read the next verse.
Verse 35, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need.
That is the true essence, right? Today they call that socialism, but again, going back to what we said with Cuba, it didn't work. We do that today in what? The alms are given, right? At the leaders, and then the leaders make that distribution as they have need. So, and yes, there's a process behind that. Some people don't want to ask for help because they know they're going to get inquired. You can't just come and say, yo, I need rent money, and don't think that we're going to ask why the hell you need rent money if you're a working man.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. We need to know. Wait, what's this? What's that? That's the price of you getting the help. We need to find out. You can't just say, I need it because, bro, how do you know you're not feeding someone's habit? How do you know you're not feeding somebody's bad intentions? Right. And then you're giving out money. And maybe it's not for the rent at all. You don't think you're going to have malicious people that are going to come in and game? There's checks and balances in place.
Right.
Yes, all right? And that's how we do stuff. But at the end of the day, it says this thing is set up because it's laid down at the apostles' feet. Right? What? And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That was the point of the socialism of what went on in Cuba. Right? So going back to the point of the problems there, it was set up in such a way that it kind of made sense. But then without this, what crept in was the lust of the flesh on the Castros, right? Mm-hmm. So they started saying, okay, you know, if this country is going to do business with me, rather than them just let them come in and do free enterprise, everything had to funnel through them. So they have to get their cut. So it gets sold to them at a certain point, right? So like, let's say cars, right? They sell the cars to the government at a certain price point, and then they mark it up and sell it to the people. Knowing that the people are poor and really don't have the means to do it that way, but it becomes overpriced, right? Because they're not really collecting taxes from the people and things like that. So the government has to run by these type of deals. For example, I'll give you farms, right? The farmers can't sell privately. They have to sell to the government in Cuba.
Wow.
Right? At a certain price, not a free enterprise price, not who gives the best bid.
Is that like colonialism?
It's like a despot, bro. Mm. It's like this is why you got some negativity as far as what's going on there. So the intentions were good in Cuba, man, and they started to go sour. They started to go south based on those type of things creeping in. Everything's rationed. And here's the other piece that makes it interesting in Cuba is that their currency is not a world-recognized currency. So it's not driven by the market. It's like it's kind of like what Amalek does, where they'll exchange cash for like in their communities. They have their own currency. Right. And they use that to shop amongst themselves. So that means it's only accepted there. Right. Mm. So that's how they keep money in themselves. It's not even that they just have the pure intentions of heart that they're trading American dollars with each other. A lot of times they have like their own little bank, right? So it's like an illegal little bank,
mm-hmm.
okay, that they keep in their community. They exchange their money for this Amalekite fake money, and then that's how what they use to shop amongst themselves. And then when they need to cash it out for things that they do got to go outside into the world for, they go to this little bank that they have and they take this Amalek money, okay, and it's worth this much U.S. dollars, and they'll take that, and then now they can go and transact in the world at large.
Yeah.
So Cuba is a similar system like that, right? So it's kind of like if I say here, right, let's just say in here this was a community, right, and I'm like, all right, we're going to make a currency, except at least Amalek's, it's made on something, right, because it's exchanged for U.S. dollars, which is a world-traded currency. So Cuba is, they basically just said, okay, we're going to print some money. It's not backed by anything. It's not driven by any world market. Okay. And this is what we're going to use. Right? I mean, for all intents and purposes, he could have just handed out monopoly money and just say, because you can't use the Cuban money anywhere else. You can't exchange it anywhere else. All right. You can only exchange it here. So it's not driven by the world market. All right. So they dictate what it's worth. Mm. So, I went there to Cuba and I exchanged U.S. dollars, and they were like, yeah, 96 each Cuban dollar is 96 cents. Basically, it wasn't even dollar for dollar. My U.S. money was worth less than the Cuban dollar, which doesn't make sense. right? So they adjusted it for that. And that creates problems because in a lot of places you'll go, you might get, like, let's say 24 pesos, right, in Mexico for one U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
And 24 pesos, as long as you're not in a tourist area, is probably a lot of money, right, for people, right? You can do pretty good, right? 24 is, like, you know, almost $25. It's not the case in Cuba. It's adjusted. So, like, if you go into a store and you want to buy, like, you know, a bag of chicken, it'll say, you know, first of all, it's overinflated. So it'll say something like $20. 20 CUC is what they call it, Cuban universal currency. And then the currency of the people is called pesos. So you would think that it would be worth the 24 pesos and that the price would be adjusted. It's not. So basically that bag of chicken would be like, you know, $200 in their money. So it'll be wow. 24 of the tourist money. Let's say, for example, I mean, that's not the right exchange rate, but yeah. So, like, you know, a television, like a 30-inch flat screen non-HD is like $10,000. Yeah, and that's in CUC, which is the equivalent of a U.S. dollar. So it's 10,000 U.S. and their money is like $250,000 or something like that. So 250,000 pesos. So they don't adjust it, is what I'm saying. So, like, you know. It stays the same. So basically, what the tourists pay, so do the people, right? Now that was Havana. Lord's will, next time we're gonna venture out into other parts of the island. The island's huge. There's a lot of other cities and stuff like that. So that was Havana. Maybe it's slightly different elsewhere. But you know, from the people that we spoke to, that's not the case. They're saying that it's by and large that's the condition that they're in. Like a lot of them eat only once a day. They can't really afford seasonings, so unless you're eating in like a nice tourist restaurant, the food is bland. So the food wasn't great there by any measure. You know, a couple spots was good. Everything's rationed, so even if they had the money, they can only buy a certain amount. Like I went into a supermarket, and it looked like a supermarket after a natural disaster is declared. So like those of us who like lived in the Northeast, when there was a big snowstorm coming, you would go in, and the shelves would be like only partially full. You know how you used to walk into a store now, but then the shelves are stacked.
Yeah.
It's not like that there. Mm-hmm. It looks like there's spaces in the shelves. There's not a lot of variety, all right, because they have minimal people trading with them. So I think for me, it's a combination of them not taking the mark, right? So we understand, those of us repenting in this walk, that the mark of the beast is, you know, America's policies, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think partially it's the Castros and the powers that be there having carnal thoughts of keeping their seat and their position and their luxury, but it's also part of not wanting to take the doctrines of America and play by America's rules. And it puts them – so basically to me, being in Cuba shows you the results of not having the mark. The embargo, the sanction, the minimization of trade limits the resources and things that they have.
And that's what you see in North Korea too, they say.
Right.
Same exact
right.
thing.
Similar. I'm pretty sure you go there, it would be the same type of thing. So there's some measure of self-reliance, but we live in a world where it's a world economy and there's imports and exports from all over, and they are unable to benefit from that.
And the media here tries to spin it and be like, look, they don't care about their people, which – you know, it seems that way, right?
It seems that way, but
that wasn't their intention.
Right, right. So, you know, they're very much, it creates an environment where you can easily see. Remember I spoke about earlier, the devil comes to you and what you thought the devil looked like and told you worship me, you wouldn't do it. All these things create, and there's so much more, all these things create a perfect storm where I can easily see how people would see the white man as God, especially in Cuba, because they're waiting for America. They said Obama came and they were happy with him. He promised them internet, cable packages, cheap TVs, and air conditioning in every home. So he promised them onions and leeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in Egypt, and they lost their mind. So a lot of them can't stand the Castros. They honor Che and Cienfuegos much more. There's so much pictures and history about and Martí and all the other ones that they have there. Supposedly, one of the locals told us is that Castro doesn't want a lot of pictures of him out there. I don't know if it's maybe guilt of that he knows he's not doing, you know, 100 with what he was supposed to do. I believe deep down that part of me believes that like Che and Cienfuegos, if they see what it became now, they'd be like turning in their graves because that wasn't their intention. Like, you know, that you don't fight a revolution like that, I think, just so that you can have a seat of authority.
Well, no, because when you know the history of Che Guevara, he was in Argentina, mm-hmm. and he saw the plight
mm-hmm.
and the misery of what we, you know, that his people were going through.
Right.
People meaning, you know, Hispanics.
Yeah.
So falsely so-called. And that's why he joined Castro. And they had the right intentions.
Yeah. I believe they had the right intentions. But then I think eventually they would have succumbed to the same thing, too, because it goes back to that mark of the beast. That's why you can't tell me that it's some freaking chip. All right. Because mm-hmm. we got chips now. All right. There's a freaking chip in your card. Mm-hmm. There's a chip in your phone. Mm-hmm. All right. There's chips everywhere. It's not no freaking chip under your skin. Cuba to me is a perfect example of what it is to not play ball with America. You cannot buy or sell, and that's what it looks like. And you see the trickle down effect that it has to the people having been there firsthand. So I mean, I'm telling you, man, on these travels and the long I'm in this truth, my faith is established more and more and more every time I see and experience these things. And that's really, I think, the biggest thing there. But they're all waiting for America, man. Their hope and salvation is not Christ, but America.
Yep. Are they trying to slowly accept the mark by because it threw me off when you said the gay pride thing.
Yeah. So I mean, part of that stems from, I believe, there's rumors, and Raul Castro has a nickname that he's a little mo. So, again, it goes back to it. That just solidifies more what I'm saying. The issue is that their carnal is taking over. And they allow things if it's based on their minds, right? Their beliefs. Mm. So he's supposedly they call him La China, like that's his nickname. So he has a little feminine. The China girl. So he's all right with that there because of that, you know. So, you know, in some respects, having that control, like they don't have gangs, you know, because they don't. They all just say, "Hey, we're Cubans." They don't have this other stuff. You know, I also picked up, again, I'm not going to be able to get into the part about us being locked up. I will say this. It benefited us that we had U.S. passports. I'll just put it like that without going into too much detail about the arrest experience. Because once they saw that, they kind of started to act a little different with us. And I think it's because deep down they want the trade. And they just, it's one of those things where they don't want to lose face, right? So I heard that they came in and they were talking about, yeah, let's open up trade. And that the Castros were like, yeah, okay, but you got to compensate me for the 60 years that you blocked us. So it's like, to me, that sounds like a pride thing, right? Like if you really cared about your people, right? And that's the deal breaker that you're trying to get back pay. He's trying to get retro pay for not being, having been able to trade, for not having to mark all those years. But you know, your people are still going to suffer. If this is why the scriptures are revolutionary, right? Not to say that they would repent at that level, because 1 Corinthians 19 tells you not many mighty, not many powerful are called to repent. Not to say it's impossible, but if they understood Romans 13, then they would just say, okay, this is the world we live in, it's their kingdom. For the benefit of my people, I'm gonna go ahead and
just roll with it.
And just roll with it.
Right.
But guess what? I'm still gonna be able to push. You know, my ideology and my other stuff here, just I got to use wisdom and take, you know, what they're saying. So, you know, he's talking about, you know, he needs to be compensated for the 60 years and he wants an apology and all types of nonsense, bro. That's going to make it impossible. So
that's like,
you know,
blacks asking for reparations.
Yeah. So, hey, so the Cubans in Cuba hate Trump, too, because he pulling back on stuff. He said he pulling back on stuff. So, anyway, man, we're gonna end it there. There was so much more I wanted to discuss, but maybe that's like, you know, almost a month's worth of me not doing this show pent up inside of me. But I mean, I'm sure it'll come up as a reference, man. It was definitely life changing for me, I think, being there and seeing that firsthand. But a lot of good stuff today on the show. Definitely share the podcast. All right. Not just the Facebook Live link. I know everybody likes that. It's easy. It pops up on your phone. We got to push the Blog Talk. All right. That's our link. It uploads as a podcast. You can hear it from there. You can even download it, so you don't even need to be connected to the internet, and you can just play it when you have time, whatever, on your commute, what have you. All right, especially to those of our people who are not repented yet. All right, they haven't started that process of repenting. Make sure you share this type of stuff for them. All right. So this is the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. Any final thoughts, brothers?
Oh, just keep tuning in. Keep tuning in, and like the captain said, we're gonna, you know, do our best to be more consistent, short of any technical difficulties, to bring you this word based on world, you know, word based on news events and things going on in the world.
Repentance is revolutionary,
right?
And not for the weak.
And not for the weak. We can't forget that.
OriginalRoyalty.com. Get you a short. Get you a shirt.
OriginalRoyalty.com.
Yeah, just stay tuned.
There you go with that sexy voice again, bro. It's not.
Yeah, this will be his last show, by the way.
Oh, that's right. We're not going to be seeing him for a while. Yeah.
So, thank you for the cameo, brother.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned, Israel. You know, got more in store for y'all.
Okay.
All praise to the Most High.
All praise to the Most High. So, this is the Native Latin Black Lost History Show. Signing off. Lord's will, we'll catch you next Saturday.
Shalom.
Shalom.